June, Year of God, 892. 1. The Temple of God, City of Zion, the Temple Lands. The atmosphere in the conference chamber was less than collegial. All four of the men sitting around the fabulously expensive table with its inlaid ivory, rock crystal, and gems wore the orange cassocks of vicars. The silken fabric was rich with embroidery, glinting with the understated elegance of tiny, faceted jewels, and the priest caps on the table before them gleamed with gold bullion and silver lace. Any one of them could have fed a family of 10 for a year just from the value of the ruby ring of office he wore, and their faces normally showed the confidence and assurance one would have expected from the princes of God's church. None of them was accustomed to failure, or to having his will thwarted. And none of them had ever before imagined disaster on such a scale. "Who the fuck do these bastards think they are?" Alain Maguire, Captain General of the Church of God Awaiting, grated. By rights, the thick, expensive sheets of parchment on the table before him should have burst into spontaneous flame under the heat of the glare he turned upon them. "With all due respect, Alain," Vicar Robert Ducairne said harshly, "they think they're the people who just destroyed effectively every other navy in the world, and the people who understand exactly who sent those navies to burn their entire kingdom to the ground." Maguire turned his glare on Ducairne, but the Church of God Awaiting's Treasurer General seemed remarkably unfazed by his obvious anger. There was even more than a hint of "I told you so" in Ducairne's expression. After all, he'd been the only member of the group of four who'd persistently advised against taking precipitous action against the Kingdom of Caris.
"They're fucking heretics, that's what they are, Robert!"
Zaspar Clintane half-snapped in a dangerous voice.
"Don't ever forget that! I promise you the Inquisition isn't going to! The Archangel Shula tells us how to deal with Shanwei's foul get!"
Ducairne's lips tightened angrily, but he didn't reply immediately. Clintane had been in an ugly mood for 5 days, even before the messages from Caris arrived. Although he was famed for his bouts of temper and his ability to hold grudges forever, neither Ducairne nor anyone else had ever seen the Grand Inquisitor as furious or as persistently furious as he'd been ever since the church's semaphore system reported the disastrous consequences of the battles off Armageddon Reef and in Darkos Sound. "Of course we haven't," Ducairne thought disgustedly. "This entire disaster is the consequence of our letting Zaspar rush us into his damned final solution of the Carizian problem. And no wonder Maguire is just as pissed off as Zaspar. After all, he was the one who made it all sound so simple, so foolproof, when he laid out his brilliant plan for the campaign." He started to say exactly that aloud, but he didn't. He didn't say it for several reasons. First, however little he wanted to admit it, because he was frightened of Clintane. The Grand Inquisitor was undoubtedly the most dangerous single enemy within the church anyone could possibly make. Second, however much Ducairne might have argued initially against taking action against Caris, it hadn't been because he'd somehow magically recognized the military danger no one else had seen. He'd argued against it because, as the church's chief accountant, he'd realized just how much of the church's revenue stream Clintane proposed to destroy, along with the Kingdom of Caris. And third, because the disaster which had resulted was so complete, so overwhelming, that the group of four's hold upon the rest of the council hung by a thread. If they showed a single sign of internal disunion, their enemies among the vicarate would turn upon them in a heartbeat, and the rest of the vicars were just as frightened as Ducairne himself. They were going to be looking for scapegoats, and the consequences for any scapegoats they fastened upon were going to be ugly.
"They may very well be heretics, Zaspar," he said instead,
And no one disputes that matters of heresy come rightfully under the authority of your office. But that doesn't make anything I just said untrue, does it? Unless you happen to have another fleet tucked away somewhere that none of the rest of us know anything about.